on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, this episode of The Read is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace recently launched the latest version of their platform, Squarespace 7, which has a completely redesigned interface, integrations with Getty Images and Google Apps, 15 new templates, and an incredible feature called Cover Pages. We use it at thisistheread.com and we love it. So try the new Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter offer code FURY at checkout to get 10% off. That's offer code FURY at squarespace.com. Start here and go anywhere. Now let's get to the show.
Stand behind me, come what may. I know now that I'm ready.
Tony Braxton version.
Cause I'm falling out of my head.
Why is A Different World still so fucking good?
It's so funny.
That must have been when I was at your house the other day and we sat there and watched
it. Because it's hilarious.
Like 9 episodes of that shit. It's
thankfully
so good.
Bill Cosby's not on it, so it can still air.
Oh my God. Don't even get me started.
I'm really hurt.
But anyway, the show is fucking good.
Hey guys, I'm Aretha Franklin.
And I'm...
that's the best version of the Different World theme song.
Like,
everybody knows it.
I mean, and that really is one of the top theme songs,
period.
Yes, like it's right up there with the Wonder Years as far as I'm concerned. And the Wonder Years is like probably my favorite theme song of all time.
I didn't know that was what you were going to say.
Yes, I love the Wonder Years theme song.
I'm not even sure I remember how the Wonder Years theme song
goes. Oh my God. What would you do if I sang you a song? Okay, I just fucked up the lyrics, but it's something
like
that.
It didn't even sound familiar.
Okay, well... I did it.
It's not better than the Golden Girls.
I did not do it justice.
You can bet your sweet ass that.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to say Different World, Golden Girls, and still, even though you don't remember it, The Wonder Years and As Told by Ginger are my favorites.
Someone once told me the grass was much greener. I don't know why I did that.
Okay, no, it's fine.
It even sound Macy Gray's more like a someone must help.
Yeah,
fuck, I can't do it.
No,
I'm gonna practice it. I love that song though, and Macy Gray.
It is good. All right, so welcome to The Read.
Oh yeah, hey,
here
sure.
We are doing a show.
So this week in Black Excellence, we have a wonderful story about a remarkable individual.
Okay.
This remarkable individual goes by the name Ernestine Shepherd, the world's oldest female bodybuilder.
Okay.
Ernestine Shepherd is 77 years old. She's the world's oldest bodybuilder. Mama is in the gym. She's got no excuses. And she has inspired me to get my black ass back into the gym anyway, but I was like, if she's 77 and looking this goddamn good and in here lifting weights and giving you motherfucking Dwayne The Rock Johnson, then yes. I have no excuse not to be in there. So shout out to
is she like still competing and stuff, or is she just...
Well, it looks like she's got like a documentary on this on prevention.com.
Oh, okay.
That someone sent to me, and it's really cool. It just kind of like follows her life and what she's up to mm-hmm. now and stuff. It shows like all of her plaques and several photographs of her giving you like don't get knocked the fuck out. So,
all right. Well, shout out to you, Miss Ernestine.
And thanks y'all for sending in all of your Black excellence stories. I'm going to try and probably switch it up and do something new with Black excellence next week.
Okay. I'm excited.
Not anything like drastically different, but keep on sending them in. I love reading the stories, even the ones that we don't mention on here. It's just really nice to read about Black people doing awesome things.
Yes, because you won't see that in the media anywhere else, so might as well get it here.
So this week in the segment that we call Sweet Bitch. I don't know.
Okay, why not?
So
yeah, Sweet Bitch.
First of all, let's address these photos. And how Beyonce can't even take her baby to the damn beach without you girls.
Well, first of all, Beyonce played too damn much because she knew that if she put a picture on the internet of a sand belly, that niggas was going to go fucking crazy. I saw that shit on the legitimate news. Like, really? An Instagram
when
picture?
When I tell you, they said tonight at 11, Beyonce at the beach.
Is she pregnant? Is she sending us signs? Is 7-Eleven the due date for the baby?
What?
Y'all have got to chill the fuck out. Come on now. Beyonce is fucking with you. And it worked.
She had a big old grin too. Like, I bet you dumbasses are talking about it right now. You talking about it right now, ain't you? With your dumbass.
And Blue Ivy was completely clocked out. Like, girl, I see your shenanigans and I don't want no parts of this
bullshit.
She
had her back turned to the, like, her back was on the camera like, I don't even give a fuck what's going on over there. I'm working on this art over here, bitch. And right. Don't you fucking disrupt me. That's
you
wanna
play games with your fans, disrupt the hive, have the whole internet going nuts, wondering if your ass is pregnant. I don't have time for your bullshit today, Beyonce. I'm over here building things. Girl.
Blue Ivy did it, though. She was the one who was like, you know what? I'm just going to give you twins. So these hoes, because just whatever. This is how we break the internet.
You think so?
We do what we want. We just live our lives.
I think
that's how we break the internet.
Probably.
We don't show nothing. We just live. We just go to the fucking beach. Slide to the left so I can get some of this sea foam that's coming up into the tide to change, to texturize my sand so I can finish the right wing of my fucking sand mansion. That's what you do. I just live my life and the internet's broke. What are you gonna do about it?
Okay, so I mean, that is one way to feel about it.
Anyway, I've at this point just, you know, accepted the fact that Beyonce is going to have a pregnancy rumor every other month, if that. And when she does decide to have children again, I will wait for her to say it.
I definitely don't think she's pregnant now, though.
I don't either.
If only because she was doing all that fucking skiing in the Himalayas and shit for Jay's birthday, whatever the fuck they was doing, just, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago. And so I just really don't think a woman in her first trimester would be doing that, nor would she be announcing her pregnancy on Instagram. So
can you go in a hot spring when you're pregnant? Because weren't they doing that
I don't think you're supposed to, but who knows? Like, but, you know, whenever Beyonce decides to fuck with our emotions, then for a minute you kind of forget how to be reasonable and think about things like, okay, you know, this
I'm not fazed. At this point, I'm so numb to those rumors. I'm just like, girl, whenever you're ready, just let me know, I guess. You don't even have to.
I love seeing the uproar, like seeing other people be legitimately pressed about whether she's having a baby. That is just...
Well, Michelle went on like The View or something, one of them shows, and she was like, sorry, she's not pregnant. It was so funny. She's so excited to have people ask her what she thinks about stuff.
You're so stupid.
But she said no. And at first, I was kind of like... This is strange.
Don't do this. I know what you're about to say, and I'm going to ask you not to say it.
All right, never mind. But the show was like, I don't believe she's pregnant.
Right.
So, yeah, there's that.
Okay. Well, all right, Beyonce.
Let's talk about...
you win again.
Which dumbass do I want to go to first? So many dummies. Let's talk about Kenya Moore.
Girl, this deluded motherfucker.
So
right
Kenya
here.
Moore somehow...
Girl, get the fuck.
Somehow... She was at a Golden Globes after party, which seems like a little bit easier. She may have been at the show too.
This is what happens when people put plus one on the invitation instead of just putting the name of the person invited. Kenya Moore shows up.
So Kenya said something about like lots of people were there and they were nice. She named Taylor Swift, but then she said Lupita refused to take pics after two movies. Girl, bye. How many movies have you been in, Kenya Moore? Don't How many movies have you been in that we have watched? I'm not talking about Amazon Instant Video. I'm not talking about like Blockbuster video bins. I'm asking you, besides Mrs. Bozak, what roles have you been giving the girls? I'd like to know that. Of course Lupita didn't want to take no motherfucking picture with you. You don't do it. Like, she probably didn't even know who you were. She probably thought you were passing out free samples and just didn't come up to you because you didn't have a tray in your hand. Like, who is this bottle service girl and why doesn't she have shots? Right. Of course I'm not taking no damn picture with you. Like, where?
She looked at you and thought you were selling something. She was confused. I highly doubt she knows your name or understood that she was offending a reality TV quote-unquote star, you know, during that moment. But I don't actually give a fuck how many movies you've done, Kenya Moore. You haven't done anything to put you on the same level as Lupita Nyong'o. Like, that is just the black-ass bottom line. I don't know your resume because I don't give enough of a fuck about you. I know you're on Real Housewives of Atlanta, and that's all I need to know that you have not done as much as Lupita Nyong'o. Like, that's all I need to know about you. Like, you're... The show has made you into a name. It's not like you were candy or something. Like, you, people are talking about you because of this fucking reality show. So catch a goddamn grip about yourself.
It's not like they're talking about you on this reality show because, oh my goodness, look at Kenya Moore out here, like, feeding the homeless and bringing dead baby birds back to life and, like
you're known for being crazy and being in some shit all the time. You're known for arguing with other grown ass women on television
and setting that ass out for people's husbands
whether it was true or not. This is what you are known
even
for.
Even that one, even besides Apollo on this new season, I've been watching it, yes, and she came to that damn that Tyler Perry girls party, and what's his name, that man with the two first names that they keep saying Roger Bob. Why can't you just say Roger, nigga? We know who you're talking about. You have to say Bob too. And when Roger Bob's ass wasn't at the fucking function, she was like, oh, I done beat my face and put on these damn stilettos and Roger Bob ain't here. So what, girl? That's not your man anyway.
Right.
And even Lupita has the right to not want to take a picture with anybody if she desires.
That's true.
Or does not. And even if she did know who she was, if she watched that fucking show every week, I would still expect for her to spit at your feet and pay you dust, bitch. Because why would she want to take a picture with you? You're a nutcase.
It's not like being seen with you is going to improve her brand or image or career in any way. The only person who benefits there is you. So why would she go out of her way? And even if it was Meryl fucking Streep or Angela Bassett, if she don't want to take the fucking picture, then she just says no and that's it, bitch. Like, that's just it. I don't understand how you feel entitled to that. Talking about, oh, I just hope to always remain humble. Like, there is a chance in hell that your ass is ever going to wake up and be an eighth as talented as that girl.
Humble, really? For what?
Bitch, stay humble. What reason do you have to brag? Where is the accomplishment?
You have no reason to be anything but humble.
Like, humble ought to be your goddamn default. What you mean you hope to stay humble? What other plane is there
after
available to you?
After two movies.
Bitch.
Blockbuster movies with more on the way.
Come talk to my Oscar about my two movies. Are you out your goddamn mind? You better get these deluded ass hoes out of here. Y'all gas these bitches up on Instagram and shit and have them thinking they really some fucking body.
Gone with the Wind, fabulous. Lupita is the wind.
Like, bitch, who are you?
So, let's discuss Santana from Glee. Now, Naya Rivera was on The View yesterday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And say they were talking about, I guess, hygiene or something. And she said...
Go on and say it.
She said, I think that white people shower a lot more than ethnic. I'll get back to that.
Okay.
I feel like showering more than once a day or every day is such a white people thing. My mom is half black, half Puerto Rican. She showers every day, so I can say this. But I'm now married to a white man, and he showers a lot, like 2-3 times a day. And I'm like, what are you doing? So... Let's just hit rewind real quick and let's go over to this word ethnic.
Okay.
I think that white people shower a lot more than ethnic. White people don't have ethnicities.
Sweetheart, see, this is just another case of how you people just say whatever the fuck and don't bother to check about whether it actually means what the fuck you're trying to say. White people, like, the idea... Don't even. I'm not even getting into that because the shit is simple. Whatever.
I feel like showering more than once a day or every day is such a white people thing.
Since when? Just now when you made that up?
Nyah Rivera, I don't think that... Listen, if you want to start like a wonderland of mushrooms down there in your folds, that's your business. That is all on you.
Right.
And you can do whatever you want to. Mm-hmm. If your white rabbit wants to, you know, be late for a very important date down in your Alice in Wonderland of mushrooms down there in those panties, then you, that's your business. You know what I'm saying? It makes a whole lot of sense why Big Sean has an I Don't Fuck With You song now. It's just because why would you?
Right.
Gross. But don't speak for the rest of us.
No.
Do not speak for ethnic people. What? Talk about taking a shower. What? Did she say one or two times a day? It's once a day or every day. It's a white people thing. You brought your ass on national television.
Get into it.
And told all of those soccer moms that we don't wash our ass every day? Are you out of your fucking mind?
And did you see how relieved they were? Facebook comments talking about, oh, thank God, I thought I was the only one who hated showering daily. You are. Y'all and Nyah Rivera are the only fucking ones. The rest of us love to get our asses in the tub. Like, I enjoy taking a shower. I like having a vagina that doesn't taste like raw potatoes. Like, I just feel like everything about Nyah Rivera is disgusting. And then to be like... deriding her husband, like he actually showers two or three times a day.
You sound like disgusted or confused that he like washes his ass.
Like it's better to wash twice a week instead of twice a day.
Most of us are out here trying to inspire these niggas to go and jump in the day. And you got a motherfucker who is actually washing his ass sometimes twice. That means he is so concerned. He is so concerned with being fresh and not being musty in your presence and making sure that if anything pops off that everything is just fresh and like Ziploc bag new.
Maybe he
and
works you, out a lot.
Maybe he goes to the gym.
And he doesn't want his balls to taste sweaty. Maybe he wishes you would rinse your pussy off sometimes.
If you go to the gym on a regular basis, two showers is almost like a given.
Yes, it is. Because if you really put in work at the gym, then you are going to be nasty when it's done. Like you're going to be sweaty and gross. You at least go
unless
get
unless you
there.
Go to the gym like right before you go home for the night and you ain't about to do shit else.
Right.
And
but you if shower you go like first thing in the home. Morning before you go to work, you not. I hope to God you're not going to work with that layered, dried up sweat and whatever the fuck else bacteria you was sitting in while you was in the gym. Like, I hope you don't just rub some deodorant on over that and take your ass to work. But Nyah Rivera does.
I think so.
This explains why that white girl didn't want your ass on set no more. What's her face?
This is why I think that I'm so lost. I can't.
Yes, we don't
like,
have to.
At all. And it's just, she tried to act like it was a joke. Or like, oh, you guys need to just get a sense of humor. Or I don't know. But she tried to play it off mm-hmm. like it was just a joke.
Well, black people don't play
it off. You meant it. You are dead ass serious. I have never met any person of color, whether you are black, Latin,
right.
I've never, ever met any person of color that has been like, oh, yeah, girl, I just be musty and it is what it is.
Yeah, girl, I just sit around in the same
never. Even people who don't wash the ass every day are too ashamed
right.
to say that they
and
don't.
That's really the root here. Where is your fucking shame?
You had the whole entire fucking guff to get on live TV.
Like, girl. Like, ma'am, you really got on television and told everybody that you don't wash your ass.
And the impudence, not only just that you don't wash your ass, but that the rest of us don't either. Yeah, let me explain something to you. Just put us all over here. Let me explain something to you. White folk that are listening, tell all of your friends that Nyah Rivera is a lie.
She's a lie.
She is a whole entire lie. I don't know her. I do not know her. I'm not represented by her. No. I'm not affiliated with her.
No.
And what she does with her body wash or lack thereof is her fucking business. But me, myself, and most of the niggas I know, we bathe.
It's nothing I'm going, it's nothing, it's no sacrifice I won't make in order to bathe. I will find a way to bathe, no matter the fuck what.
The only times that I have ever gone, like, days without showering have been when I was in, like, the depths of despair and right. was just like, this is the bed that I plan on dying in, and nobody
when my depression was at
like
an all-time
at an
high.
All-time high where I like legit just forgot that there was a shower
when it was
there.
Like I either lay here or I die,
but
like,
I that was because I went I'm in the house. I'm not going anywhere.
Right. I also didn't leave or have guests or visitors, nor did I just go around telling people, hey, I don't shower, because like, girl, what? First of all, something was wrong with me, first of all.
No, I'm still like flabbergasted by her comments.
We're so deep into this. Like
that ash in between your thumb and like index finger. You know how sometimes you'll get ashy right here in this little
yeah,
V part?
Yeah.
That is like one of my sworn enemies.
Yes.
I have to carry like little tubes of lotion around with me because I won't do it.
Right.
Speak for yourself.
Girl.
So the last story that I have on here.
I have a headache now. Like she really, that was personally
just
offensive.
How dare you?
Gonna go out here and tell white people we don't bathe every day. You better get the I can't. Don't do this.
Oh, she was lost. So
I'm upset.
This may be my read. I don't know. Because I'm just gonna do it now. But we'll see how I feel towards the end of the show.
Okay.
Because I feel like that's what's about to happen.
Okay.
So I don't know if you saw this or not, because we definitely did. We were in Philly last night. Shout out to Philly. We'll talk more about that at the end of the show. But we didn't get to tape this. And I said how much I wanted to tape this Nancy Grace interview with 2 Chainz.
Oh, Lord.
About the legalization of marijuana.
Oh, God. How bad was it?
It actually was fantastic. You didn't watch it?
No.
It was actually really good.
I haven't like, had a chance to heinous. See it yet.
So here's the thing. The reason why I said initially that I wanted to record it and why I was kind of like concerned wasn't because it's 2 Chainz, because I wasn't 100% sure, but I was pretty sure that 2 Chainz is one of the few rappers that actually like has an education and can like read and write and spell.
Okay.
So I was like, I think 2 Chainz can do this.
All right.
But it still felt like another incident with like a white newscaster or whatever you would call Nancy Grace
mm-hmm.
trying to get a rapper or someone that they deem like low class and hip hop and uneducated and stupid. Like, I feel like that was her trying to pull him on there and like punk him.
Yeah.
You know, and make him sound stupid.
Make him look stupid, yeah.
And so Bill O'Reilly does it all the time. I think that he said that he's got an interview coming up with Bill O'Reilly too, which I'm dreading.
Oh, Lord.
Because I just know that the whole goal there is to be like, you're a rapper and look at your lyrics and look at these naked women in your videos and, you know, who are you and why? You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to talk about the legalization. You're Nancy fucking Grace. You want to talk about the legalization of marijuana in America and you decided that you should talk to 2 Chainz about it?
Of all fucking people.
Of all the fucking people to talk to. Like, obviously your game here is to try and be, like, cute and funny and tell, you know, and embarrass this man.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew. I wasn't even sure if I knew this, but apparently 2 Chainz graduated from college with like a 2.0. We graduated from college with a 4.0.
Really?
That's what she said.
Okay.
And so the way that he handled himself in this interview, I believe it. You know what I'm saying? He spoke very well. He, you know, kept his composure. He was very calm. He treated this bitch. When I tell
what?
You, like, he did. He didn't lose.
Oh,
he didn't yell. He didn't, like,
it.
Shout. And sometimes he definitely would, like, they kind of didn't really get into shouting matches, but he kind of would like, he would be talking and she would try to cut him off and he would keep talking.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to listen, let me finish and say what I have to say. But the whole thing was mostly like her putting up clips of like people giving joints to kids. Like having their sons or daughters or little siblings smoking joints and their kids are like running around with motorcycle helmets on or whatever kind of random shit. She's showing, like reading his lyrics and showing his music videos. And it felt like trying to like belittle him and be like, why do you want pot to be legal?
Though.
That is how she
is. I can't even believe he agreed to go on this show.
I'm like watching it back now. I'm so glad that he did, because again, he treated that ass. He said like, he hit all of these great points about why he feels like weed should be legal. Now, whether you agree with the legalization of it or not, he handled himself way more professionally in that interview than she did. And every time he hit her with a push, she would always say something to him. And he like, okay, for instance, the kids. she would show this clip of a little kid smoking marijuana or whatever, and then he would be like, you know, I feel like that's has to do with responsibility. He would mention that that's just irresponsible people. The same way, for instance, that you have to be responsible with alcohol. You can't be out here.
Teenagers drink.
You can't be out here giving teens liquor. Right. And I'd be hard pressed to believe that there aren't a ton of parents out here who have or are giving their toddlers little sips of beer or whatever to like see how they react to it. Parents do this all the time. No, like you have to be a responsible fucking person. If they're not going. You are so dumb.
No, they dead ass will rub wine on their baby.
It's true though.
And make them
I know.
Go the fuck to bed.
But that's the point there. Like, if you're an irresponsible person, then you shouldn't be you shouldn't be smoking. You shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't be doing anything that requires a ton of responsibility because you're just not a responsible individual. I smoke weed all the time. I think it's great.
Okay.
If I ever did have kids, I'd probably stop smoking.
Right.
Or if I did, it would have to be like a rare occasion where somebody's watching my kid and I'm out with my friends and somebody's got some and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to make sure that when I go home to my baby, I don't still smell like weed. And that doesn't mean that I don't want my child to ever smoke weed when they grow up. I just want to focus more so on making sure that I'm raising a responsible human being, someone with morals, someone who knows right from wrong and how to not act an egg. So that when you do decide to experiment with weed, if you do, that you know not to be a fucking idiot with it. That's the point here. If you like, anyway, he hit her ass with that.
I see. Damn.
And at one point, he had said something about like the legalization of weed would free up a lot of tax dollars. And even I was kind of like, where are you going with this? And so I knew she was going to pull that up. Because she every time he would make a point, she would try to cut him off and be like, well, you're not listening to what I'm saying. Because what I'm saying is, how can you watch this clip?
She is so
and
crazy.
Feel like, and he's there like, ma'am, I've said all right. Like, he's very calm. Anyway.
That's dope. I have
when
to
he
watch
brought
it
up
now.
The tax paying thing, she said something like, I'm really confused as to how it frees up tax paying dollars or whatever. How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
And she knew, you could hear in her voice, she knew she had him. And he explained, well, when I get pulled over on my tour bus and they find like some weed residue on there and I have to go to court and then they throw my case out and give it to the fucking my security guard because he's the one who packed it and then his shit gets thrown out because girl, what are you gonna do over about like some residue? Like
right.
He said, if that is not a waste of taxpayers' dollars, I don't know what is. Silence.
Ooh.
And she like and what was funny about it was she followed that up by saying something like, I can't disagree with you there. And then she was like tripping up over her words and saying shit that didn't make no sense. Like
mad that he had a point.
Tuesday elephant will be right back on juice. Like, but what I meant was, like, she was so fucking confused. I am so proud of that brother.
Yes.
Let me explain something because I have seen so many times where these people on the news, HLN, Fox News, whatever, CNN, whatever the fuck. I've seen plenty of these people, Don Lemon, whoever. They always try and get a rapper or get some fucking reality star or someone else who's a part of like urban pop culture and put them on blast and try and make them look stupid. You, madam, didn't know what the fuck you were talking about and you were not expecting or prepared from this black man from Georgia who spits a couple of rhymes about fat asses to come out here and treat your ass, and that's what the fuck he did, and I commend him for it. Light one up if you haven't done it already. Spark one up for 2 Chainz on this bitch tonight. He explains her. When I tell you, she tried to talk about how his name was Titty Boy and 2 Chainz and like
she said
it in
Titty
this way.
Boy.
Yes. And he explained why his name is Titty Boy. It's not because he loves titties. It's like a name that he got from home. I'll let you watch the interview.
Okay.
But he even went over that. He mentioned that too. Like, no, ma'am, you're not gonna sit up in here and punk me because I know what the fuck I'm talking about and you can get your ass done. Shout out to 2 Chainz for that.
Fuck her racist. That shit
fuck
is racist.
Her. It is racist.
When
you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. And furthermore, you don't even give a fuck about the legalization of weed. Nobody really cares about the legalization of weed in this country anymore. And the people who do really could sit the fuck down. Like, honestly, you can feel passionate about it if you want to, but weed is really no different than like alcohol or plenty of these OTC drugs that people are getting at Duane Reade and crunching up and fucking snorting and selling it. I'm dead ass. Like, people who want to be irresponsible with drugs and alcohol are just going to do that.
Right.
Even if they can't get weed, they'll find some other, you know, substance to abuse. So you thought that that's not even
the
point.
They drink Listerine. Alcoholics who are broke and desperate will drink Listerine to get drunk. If you are an addict, you will do anything. You don't give a fuck about whether it makes sense.
That's not the point here. You just wanted to have this man on here and come and try and embarrass him and degrade him, and you got your ass purchased.
Okay, good.
Good night to you. Fuck Nancy Grace. Anyway, that is the sweet bitch portion of the show for today. We're going to take a quick break and come back. All right, y'all. So we're back. And okay. All right, I had to just do a real quick breath.
Yes.
So, in our current earthly presence, yes, is like, I am honored to have Jasmine Sullivan in the studio with us tonight.
Like, I can't speak.
Thank you so much for coming.
No problem. Y'all are so crazy. Look at y'all.
So, let me just get it out. First of all, I want you to know that this is the type of stan that I am. I remember wanting to call people after the first Grammys, mm-hmm, when I felt like you didn't receive enough. I remember driving down I-95 and like bawling with After the Hurricane playing. I remember purchasing the second album and getting my whole life. Like, I have followed you from like New Jasmine, like from like the new, from the Missy, like from,
oh shit, you did it.
I can't, like, woo. All right, so
it's been a long
thank
time.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
We're so excited that you're here now.
I'm glad to be here.
You've got a new album out.
Yes,
Reality Show.
It's called Reality Show. Mm-hmm.
Before we get into that, though, I just want to again let you know how I was personally affected when you decided to take a break. Now I understand that, you know, human, and we've got to sometimes do us, because right, I totally get and respect that. But it was a moment for me where I was just like, damn, a real talent.
Yes,
like,
damn.
Like, damn, damn. Exactly. So, like, I don't know. Can you just kind of give us like an idea of where you were at when you decided to like just take a step back, and what I guess inspired you to like be like, okay, I'm ready to be back now?
Well, what happened was I was in a really bad relationship, and it kind of like sucked the life out of me. It sucked the fun out of a lot of things, not just music. Like, I found myself, first of all, it was bad, and it had gotten physical. And I had become the girl that I never thought I would be. I had given basically everything to him and to the relationship, and I lost myself. Like, little by little, I lost pieces of myself. So by that time, I was kind of just, like, over doing anything. Like, I was really focused on trying to make that work. You know, sometimes even when things are bad, when you love somebody or you're used to them, you know, you just become attached and you want to hold on to it even though it's not right. And I chose to try to hold on to that instead of focusing on anything else. So that's kind of why I stopped. And naturally, when the relationship ended, thank God, yeah. you know, that love kind of came back. And but before that, I really had to do a lot of like soul searching, because after being in a situation like that, you know, you feel bad about yourself, you know, and when you're not with that person, you just feel bad. So I had to really do like a lot of praying and soul searching really to get back to a healthy space. So I'm good now.
And we're so excited to have you back.
Thank you.
I was at the Gramercy Theater not too long ago, and you had a show out here. And I remember texting a friend of mine and being like, I am standing in 24 whole human degrees out here waiting to get inside this theater.
Yo, I was so bad for everybody that was waiting. It's just the sound or something was just not right that night, so I had to get it together.
No, I took that as like, that reaffirmed how much of a fan I, because had it been many other people, I would have been like, I'm taking my frigid black ass home. But I refused to miss it, and you did such an amazing
Thank
job.
Thank you. I was so happy that my fans, you know, stayed and waited, and when I got in there, everybody was so, like, just the love that I've been getting just is beyond anything I could imagine. not just my fans, but like my peers too. Like mm-hmm. K Michelle was tweeting, and Tamar and Fantasia, all of them. So I was just like,
I saw a video where Beyonce said something about you being
one of the greats.
Doesn't it feel good to know it that really, Beyonce really, like acknowledged you? I was frozen.
Like I became like a little spark on her cat suit.
I understand.
I was like, Beyonce better absolutely acknowledge it. Yes. And that's just like a cute sprinkle of like, yes, this one over here, she belongs here. I don't know about the rest of you, but I like her.
Because they're among the few who can sing. Like, all the girls out here are not able, and some of you can.
Some of them ain't.
Girl, don't get bashful. You know you can sing your ass off.
Thank you. Thank you.
I saw a video of you performing, I think, Home, from when you were like a little girl.
Yeah.
I think maybe you were in the third grade or something, and it was like a stage play, and you just sat there and sang, and I was moved to tears at my desk. Yeah. Like, it's something about your voice that is just so phenomenal, and I'm in love with this album. I've been listening to it nonstop.
Thank you.
Was there any particular track on the album that felt maybe more personal than the other ones, or kind of affected you the most when writing or recording it?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's a couple. The first one, of course, was Forever Don't Last. Like I was basically crying my heart out during that song, and at times I wanted to like stop and just like go and cry, because I was literally in the midst of having to let somebody go and not wanting to, you know. That's the hardest thing to do when you're not ready, but you have to kind of, you know, you got to tell yourself, you have to know what you're worthy of, and that's what that song was. I was speaking myself through that. And then the other song that I'm most proud of is Masterpiece.
I'm sorry, I love it. I love that song. I was hoping you were gonna say
that. Yeah, that was the last song actually that I did for the album, and I wasn't really thinking about doing like a empowerment song or anything like that, but it kind of just came to me.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was like God, like, just to remind myself like you are beautiful, and kind of to prepare me for what I'm about to start doing again, because, you know, coming into this industry, being the way I am, sounding like I am, looking the way I am, I know that, you know, I'm different, and you know, I think I was preparing myself to just know my worth and know that whatever, however I am, it's enough. So
I want to ask you some, like, I guess more detailed questions about, like, I guess the process of you putting so the album's a reality show.
Yes.
I'm sure you've answered 500,000 reality show questions. So I'm not gonna ask you about Jocelyn and whatever her other name
well,
is.
Well, I watch them, so that,
I mean, I do too. Like, I'm obsessed with all of them, and I love when they rip out each other's weaves and all that stuff. But the album itself, mm-hmm. like, first of all, I have to say, okay, my favorites, other than the ones that you've named and like the singles, Veins,
yes.
Hood Love, hashtag Hood Love, for those who didn't know.
I made him change it to hashtag too.
One thing that I've noticed that you've done on projects before, and that you're so very like on point with, is this like late 70s, early 80s, like a funky disco.
Yeah, I love it. I love it for some reason. Like, it's not that I listen to so much like 80s music, but when I hear the beat, it's something about it. Like, right. I just want to write to it, and I kind of get into it. I mean, of course, I love Prince and stuff like that, and I think that's a lot of kind of where I molded to, is like remembering like how Prince would do it, and I kind of try to model it after that.
But I mean, like, Let It Burn gave me some Prince, but then I get like Evelyn King.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. Let It Burn,
it's just so
that's like a soulful.
I mean, from the whole album, like Stanley, even is just like, I'm ready to like clean my house and wash my clothes.
Yeah. Right.
So much fun. But another thing I've noticed is like, it feels like in albums sometimes you'll have like a really powerful or like strong ballad, like it'll be the song before last, and then your very last song is like, okay, like put on your freakum dress and like let's boogie. Right. Do you do that intentionally?
No, but I did with this particular album. I felt like I needed maybe one more ballad, but I was more so concerned about like just telling dope stories, like telling really detailed stories. So that's what I was thinking about, even more so than the vocals. Like for me, the vocals was like the sprinkling on everything. I just wanted to have the base of this album, I think, is that you can listen to the stories that are being told.
So did you feel like you wanted to Like, I know you've said, like, you wanted to share your reality mm-hmm. and stuff like that with people, but are the records, like, a whole bunch of different stories? Because you really have, like, a song on here for everybody or for a ton of different moments or feelings.
Yeah.
Do you, like, identify with them all, or did you want to kind of, like, tell different stories and share different things for maybe your, like, fans who may be going through that?
I mean, some of the stories, of course, are very personal. And some of them, I just wanted to tell a story that I feel like wasn't being told.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for Brand New, I just so happened to notice, like, a lot of the rappers who, it didn't look like they was with the women that they started out with. So I was like, oh, let me tell this story, because I know it's a lot of women, like, looking like, what about me? You know,
right.
women that's like them. And Mascara came about with me just being on Instagram looking at all the video girls and, like, looking at their lives, like, and it all looked the same. I was like, dad, y'all take the same picture, y'all mm-hmm. go to the same places, Miami.
Right.
Y'all do all the same stuff. So I was like, let me tell this story. Now, I will say that I was not trying to come off as judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
I was really just trying to be, I consider myself, like, almost like a news reporter. Like, I'm just trying to tell the story, mm-hmm. and then how you take it is how you take it.
Like Silver Linings.
Yes, Silver Linings was a story definitely that is not about me. Actually, it's about I don't even know where. Actually, my mom helped me make that up for some reason. I came up with, like, the first couple lines, and she was like, oh, Jazz, you need to make him rob a bank or something like that. I was like, what? I was like, all right. So my mom was actually instrumental in, like, she was letting me know if it was hot or not. She'd be like, I know, girl. Next, to do something different, or she let me know if she liked it.
I love a good mom.
One thing I've noticed about the album is that it seems like your songwriting abilities have gotten even better than what they were before, which is, like, not to say anything, you know, disparaging about previous work, but I can definitely tell that there's been some growth there. Do you feel like the relationship, like, going through that and then, you know, going through the process of ending the relationship, do you think that helped affect the quality of your songwriting or kind of changed your perspective on some things?
Yeah, I think everything that I've been through thus far, everything that I've heard, everything I've experienced is aiding in me growing as a person and growing in every way. So, yeah, definitely. Everything I've been through is helping me. Yeah.
I read that you like, you listen to, like, a bunch of beats on a CD and you just pick out the ones that you like.
Well, for this particular album, like, it was, for me, it was, like, so personal. Like, I really literally spent most of the time in Philly. I wasn't going out working with a bunch of different producers. I was like, I'm gonna just do this by myself. And I wasn't, like, trying to do it by myself because I was like, I'm trying to show everybody that I can. It was just, it felt like that's what I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So with this particular album, I was just getting beats sent to me, and I didn't have no names, nothing. I didn't know who the beats was. I just, whatever I was feeling, I'm just like, oh, I'm feeling it, I'm gonna write to it.
So I want you, I know that you talked about, you know, your relationship and all of that. I didn't want to get too deep into any of that.
Oh, it's cool.
I just knew, like, I had heard about the extent of it
mm-hmm.
at the show that I went to, and mm-hmm. I remember thinking in my head, like, well, just give me longitude and latitude and I'll just take care of it. Like, I don't want the nigga out, because absolutely not. That's what we won't do.
Oh yeah, it definitely got bad. It got really bad.
But here on our show, we have, like, a section where we get letters mm-hmm. from the listeners at home, and almost every single week we have a letter about a relationship, and it's usually about some ain't shit guy that we just call fuckboys.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to, like, define what a fuckboy is, what would that be, and how do we stay away from them?
I mean, a fuckboy to me is just like an insecure man that cannot handle a person or his woman being confident, being great. He can't handle it, so, like, he tries to bring her down any kind of way that he can. And mm-hmm. I think I experienced some of that. I experienced, you know, and I'm not saying this, like, first of all, let me just say, we were both young, and I can understand that it's a lot to deal with the situations that we were dealing with. But I dealt with, I think, you know, some jealousy, like a man not being confident and not being able to handle a strong woman. So that's a fuckboy to me.
And that just seems like something that is happening to so many different women in relationships. It's like,
and man.
Yeah. And you got to be smart. Like, if you see something in somebody that look like they can't handle who you are and like all your greatness, then let them go. Like, they not, that's not the one for you.
Right.
I told the girls that literally had, it took me like running around my little apartment and yelling like, you paid for that and you bought that shit too. You are a bad bitch.
You need like, friends like that, for real. But you know what? You got to listen to friends like that, because of course I had family. I had friends that was like, girl, what are you doing? And, you know, of course I didn't want to hear it, but you have to be able to listen to, especially the people that you know love you and care about you and been there for ever. So
my last question, I just want to know if you're going to be doing if you're going to be writing for other artists.
Am I going to write for other artists? I would love to. I mean, I love writing. Most of the time the songs that have gotten picked from different artists have been songs that I already wrote, so it's only been a few times that I kind of went in the studio and was like, oh, I'm going to write this for somebody. But I would love to. Like, my dream really though was to do like write for like Disney or something like that, like scoring or something like that.
Like a
soundtrack,
like a whole movie.
Like, yeah, like the soundtrack, or like, you know, the score, like with,
oh yes, my god, I would love that.
I grew up on Disney, so I would love to do that.
So then you could just get Oscars and Grammys in the same year.
I mean, I love telling stories. Like, my mom was a playwright and I watched a lot of Disney series.
Me too.
I love like telling a story, and I feel like I can look at a scene or something like that, especially with Disney, and kind of like make up something crazy.
Well, I love the stories you tell and the way you tell them. And of course, your phenomenal voice. I completely stan, and you're everything.
Thank you.
My last question is, where do you shop? Because you're cute and you look good. Like, want your jacket.
We got to take a picture. They can see
this. This is actually so cute. Like, I'm jealous.
We just got this today. I actually don't even know where this dress has come from. Well, first of all, I have somebody that kind of makes my clothes, who's actually like one of my best friends. His name is Marquette. Okay. Marquette by Marquette.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, so he does a lot of my stuff now.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, listen, we ain't gonna hold you up. Thank you.
It's cool. Thank you so
much.
Yes.
My last thing, I'm about to go get some wine and just chill. Right.
Honestly, though, like, it really is humbling for you to be here, because, again, I have been such a huge fan of yours for, like, long before I did this. So for you to come and be here and, like, allow us to talk to you is extremely,
no
like,
problem.
Moving.
Thank
for
you.
Me.
I appreciate it. Especially, I appreciate really, like, talking to my fans, like, people that, like, have supported me and, you know, even prayed for me when y'all thought I needed to be prayed for. I appreciate it. Like, Lord, help her, please. Help her. Well, I appreciate talking to y'all.
Thank you so much, Jasmine,
for
coming by.
Thank you again
for
coming through, and congratulations.
Yes, we love it. So much. So we're going to take a break, and we will be right back. Hey guys, don't forget to check out our amazing sponsors over at Squarespace. If you go to squarespace.com and use the offer code FURY, that's F-U-R-Y, you'll get 10% off your first purchase. Now, I know lots of y'all out there are little entrepreneurs and things, which I love, and I know that building a website can be a huge pain in the behind, but if you use Squarespace, they can help you come up with beautiful designs. It's simple and extremely powerful. They have 24-hour, 7-day-a-week support via live chat and email. It's only $8 a month, and you get a free domain if you buy Squarespace for the year. Make sure that you check them out. Crystal's going to tell you some more about their features and Squarespace 7 and all that.
Yes, so Squarespace 7 is the brand new version of Squarespace, and it comes with a newly designed interface and 15 new templates. It can integrate with Google Apps, so you can connect it to your Gmail or your Google Drive for cloud storage, Google Forms for surveys, all kinds of stuff that you can do with Google. And they've partnered with Getty Images, so you can take care of all your stock image needs in the same place you manage your site, which is very, very useful for people who are going to be using a lot of stock images. Again, that's so many different gorgeous templates. They have beautiful design with really powerful interfaces. We use it for every single thing that we need on the website. Like, Squarespace handles it all, from e-commerce, anything you might possibly need to use for your website. So again, head over to squarespace.com and use offer code FURY to get 10% off. We thank them so much for their support. So go to Squarespace, start here, and go anywhere.
Yeah, shout out to Squarespace. Thank you all so much for your continued support, and let's get back to the show. So are you ready to read, or?
I can. You want me to go first?
Do you have like a good one?
I don't know about good. I'm just very annoyed by something this week. What about you? What are you talking about?
Mine's kind of like broad.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about this particular incident then. Okay. Since it's just like this one particular thing. So you know how all this shit about Bill Cosby has come out again over the past few months. And it's been just sort of like, once people really started paying attention to the rape allegations, his career basically just fell apart in like 6 days. Like,
right.
We all witnessed this, right? It was like, we all paid attention and we heard all these terrible stories from woman after woman. And we were like, oh God, this is awful. And there wasn't any court decision, which I don't think is even the point here or anything. But we watched Bill Cosby's career fall apart. So tell me now why Amazon is letting Woody Allen write and direct a television show for them.
What?
Woody Allen has a deal with Amazon, who you know does, I think, Transparent, which picked up a couple of Golden Globes.
Oh, yes.
So they're getting more into that whole, you know, arena of media. And they are letting Woody Allen write and direct a television show. Woody Allen, who has had child abuse allegations pinned on him from his own children. Like, this is not like some randoms or whatever. Like, this is a 7-year-old child who is describing in detail, or a girl who was 7 and talking about what happened to her when she was 7 years old by this man. Like, it's no secret. It's not like anybody, you know, doesn't know about this shit. It's not swept under the rug.
Yeah,
he married his fucking stepdaughter. Like, he married his fucking stepdaughter. Woody Allen married his goddamn stepdaughter. Like literally the adopted daughter of his wife. You married this person. Like, and not only does Woody Allen continue to be celebrated and nominated and applauded, you know, year after year at all these different events, and people bring it up. It's not like Mia Farrow and her kids don't talk about this shit, because they bring it up every time. But y'all continue to award him. Not only does he continue to be awarded, but this motherfucker is getting a whole new television show. Every single project Bill Cosby had was canceled in like 48 fucking hours. Netflix canceled the streaming thing that was supposed to happen on like Thanksgiving or the day after. All of the syndication checks were cut the fuck off by TV One and everybody else who was running Cosby's show reruns. Every single thing Bill Cosby had his hand in. Then I think they even took him off the board at fucking Temple. I think Spellman did some shit, removed him from some shit at Spellman. Like, the backlash has been immediate and it's been severe.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was supposed to be. But this racist shit right here, where this is the type of shit that I be talking about when I'm saying that there's some shit that is just racist and it's not KKK. It's not, you know, burning crosses and lynching children. It's shit like Woody Allen continuing to receive awards and be respected and even embraced in Hollywood, and Bill Cosby actually having to face the consequences for his actions. So fuck you, Amazon. And Lord knows I be on that Amazon Prime. I be on that same day. They listen, them motherfuckers rolled out same day shipping and the shit is only $7 or some shit. Listen, I'm mentioning how much I use Amazon Prime because I need you to understand that I'm a fan of Amazon and the shit that they do.
It's on my like.
Like, it's one homepage. Of the. It helps me keep my life together, but y'all dirty as fuck for this.
I have the app.
And all of y'all are dirty as fuck for this. It's all of Hollywood. It's all of media that's responsible. The same way Woody Allen gets to continue to thrive and flourish and Bill Cosby is shitted on is the same shit where the NAACP can be bombed in Colorado and 2,000 people can die in Nigeria at the hand of a terrorist organization, but when another terrorist organization kills 12 people in France, then it's a global uproar and we all supposed to be Je suis Charlie in this shit. Like your lives are really valued more than ours are. We are punished even when we do wrong. Like, it's not that we shouldn't be punished for fucking up, but it's that y'all aren't. Or if y'all are, you're not punished as severely as we are. This shit is fucked up. It's racist, and I'm sick of it. So fuck you, Amazon. And that's my read for this week.
Powerful.
Thank you.
Again.
Bitch, what is your read?
So here again, I feel like from now on, we should just make it so that you have to go last.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it does.
Why?
Because mine isn't a movement. You so, always have your fucking fist up in the air and you always say something so powerful. And then I'll come over here and I'm talking about like chips. And it's like, bitch, what are you talking about?
I appreciate that. I wish I got mad about chips. Like, I get mad about this shit. I get mad about fucking Amazon and Woody Allen.
Well, that really is disgusting. I didn't even know that.
I just found out, and that was another thing. I just found out today, so
it
just
Seventh Heaven, I heard she's working again too.
Oh, is she really?
I heard
the
that.
Daddy on Seventh Heaven already. Okay.
Or about to be.
We'll see when Bill Cosby gets, and Bill Cosby should not get booked again. Let me make that clear. I feel like Bill Cosby, like, this is not harsh punishment. I just feel like the same shit should be happening to Woody Allen, and you need to look at yourselves and ask why the fuck it's not.
So my read is it's kind of about, like, how do I even describe this? You know, so how sometimes you'll have when you meet a person sometimes through another friend.
Oh Lord.
You know how sometimes you just have these moments where you meet someone that is, hey, friends with someone else.
Okay.
And then y'all become friends. I don't think that you should have a problem with that when it happens. And I've had, like, lots of incidents in my life, especially when I have, like, made friends more and learned to be, like, more social. With me, myself, I lock myself off. Like, I kind of cut myself off from people, period, anyway. I don't really go out that much. And, like, most of the time when y'all do expose me to someone, like, when y'all friends, I'll just be like, oh, hey. You know, and I sit there. But then there are other times where, like, with you, with Dustin, with Asante, you know, with Kia, I've met, like, a lot of really cool people through other people or through the internet. Mm-hmm. And those are people that just, like, spiritually I have clicked with. And I think that sometimes it just happens. Like, you might meet someone and y'all just kind of get each other and click. Become friends. So my thing is, don't be mad if you don't be mad if you introduce friends and they become super cool friends and, like, hang out without you.
Why would you be mad? Oh, hang out without you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it's kind of, I've just had moments, like, in my life, even, like, back home in Miami, I've had friends sometimes be like, oh, so y'all cute little friends now, just going out to Pinkberry or whatever, or like, sharing your favorite songs. Be like, so I can't like the person that you like, you obviously friends with them, and so, like,
isn't that okay for me?
Obviously, either? I'm confirming, like, hey, yeah, this is a cool ass individual. Like, thanks for introducing us. Where, like, I don't know, some people just click,
yeah,
and you should appreciate that and let it be what it is. And furthermore, some people that you can introduce people and they may have better chemistry than you do with that person just because of the way that they are.
That's awkward then. Like, oh, hey, I introduced y'all and now y'all are better friends.
Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't, like, exile your original friend. If it comes to a point where, like, I introduce you to somebody and y'all become cool, but now I, like, never see you, or, like, you're completely different,
yeah,
or, like, our friendship is affected because of that, then that's something else.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If it's just, like, if my friend has been secretly saying, oh, that bitch is a hater, that bitch don't really, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If it becomes
bullshit.
A situation where you're dragging me or you're dragging my friend away from me or something like that. But when does that happen besides, like, on the Babysitter's Club? You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes, like, even with the friendships that I have, like, my friendship with you and my interaction with you is completely different than my, you know, friendship with Tay. Like, we're all great friends,
yeah,
and we have great friendship, like, as a unit. But I can talk to Tay about, like, Naruto and Azealia Banks and, like, I don't know, Japanese knives.
Other things.
And
I don't
things,
know about.
You know, like, that you would be like, girl, what? Like, Lana Del Rey's last album.
I tried, but it's just...
And I get it. It's not for everyone. It really isn't.
It's...
No, it's... That's fair.
Teen mom suicide music.
That was rough, but it's actually factual as well.
Okay.
But I love it. Either way, I think we should just recognize that, you know, friendship is, like, friendship, and it's general. But then at the same time, people have different friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm gonna wanna go and, like, kick it with such and such. Maybe they smoke and you don't. Maybe, like, you're an awful drunk, so I'd rather go to the club with such and such. Like, don't be trying to get me together or gather me because I'm hanging out with your homeboy. That, you know, like, why can't we just all be motherfucking friends? Yeah. Maybe it's you.
I feel like that awful drunk line is about me. I am a pretty bad drunk. I mean, I know this.
When I say awful drunk, I mean, like,
I'm pretty bad.
Like, I can't hang out with you when you're wasted. Like, you break things or hurt people.
Got it.
Or, like
you make get violent. A scene. Got
it. Where it's just like, I won't do this.
Oh, okay. No.
You get wasted and you're just kind of like, well, I'm going to sleep now. Anywhere. Anywhere.
Like, I don't care. If it's in the middle of the club, I will sit down and it'll just go to bed club, and I will go to sleep.
On
yes.
the beach.
It doesn't matter.
On a light.
It doesn't anywhere. I'll go to bed. If I'm drunk, I'm just tired.
A metro mover.
You're right, though. People sometimes, like, when you introduce mutual friends,
Waffle
it can
House.
Be okay, dude, that's enough. I don't sleep everywhere. I mean, but I will, like, most places I do.
You used to just sit.
I would. Oh my god, it was bad. Like, within that first 6 months of moving to New York, I would just be like, okay, well, I'm done walking, so I'm gonna just sit here now, and the rest of you can go on without me, but I personally am not moving anymore. Like, I'm done. It takes a while to get used to all the walking that you do up here. So, but anyway, yes.
So, yes, I have just, like, I've never been a person who's, like, when I have a friend or, like, somebody that I fuck with, it's because, like, you have given me, you've shown me that you're someone who, like, maybe either understands me or is trying to understand me, and I'm doing the same for you, and we have a good time together, and so on and so forth. The levels of that can differ depending on who the person is. Like, there's shit that I could talk to you about that I can't talk to friends that I've had, like, almost my whole life, mm-hmm. and vice versa. So just, like, appreciate that, acknowledge that. If you feel like there's a hole or something missing in a friendship with someone, then speak to that friend and fill it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't be out here like, well, girl, you and such are such great friends, or, oh, bitch, you got on some Louboutins, you think that you better than somebody now, or, oh, well, that girl don't call me, like, the phone don't ring, to, like, you know, go two ways. Oh, well.
All them petty comments that people make. Don't be that friend. Like, if you really feel a way, then just say something.
We get letters about that often, too. Like, yeah. Oh, or even at the show, sometimes we'll get questions from people where it's just like, I don't know, it was just, it's a little different, and I don't know if I should pursue something. Well, just go and speak to your friend and be like, look, this is how I feel. If you feel like, if you don't even feel compelled to work out a friendship.
Yeah. Then what are you even?
Then what? You probably weren't even friends for real.
Yeah.
Like, the people, if I have a falling out or if I feel like something's odd, I'm not going to really even put in the effort to go and say something to you if we weren't really friends. Like, mm-hmm. I only do that to people that I, like, really genuinely give a fuck about, that I know have my best interest at fucking heart, that I know that I can trust, that I, you know, that hasn't done me no kind of way. Like,
right.
If I feel, because there are shakeups and there are slip ups. Friendships are just like every other kind of fucking relationship. They take work. Mm-hmm. So that means that if something is happening, if some shit is off, talk to your fucking friend. That's what you're supposed to do anyway. It doesn't mean that you're going to agree, and it may take more than one fucking conversation. But if you're not even interested in trying to figure out what it is or put that effort in there, then you probably weren't friends anyway. So that means leave me the fuck alone.
All right.
That's it.
Okay, so that wraps up another episode of The Read. Make sure y'all follow us on Facebook and Twitter at This Is The Read, and check out thisistheread.com, where you can see, you can listen to every episode and read our bios and all kinds of other great fun stuff, and get information about our upcoming shows, like in Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas.
We love Houston. Thank you so much, Philly, first of all, for coming out last night. We had a great time at Drexel again with you guys. Y'all are just a mess, but so much fun. So thanks again, everybody who came out to the Read Philly and Houston. We will see you guys here in a few weeks.
So excited.
I'm very excited to go back. We're
going
to be at the
we need to do some new cities.
U of H. So tickets available. Go to thisistheread.com for the link to those tickets. And what else is going on?
Thank you so much to Jasmine Sullivan for stopping by. Like,
oh yes, of course. How could we not?
Moments. Moment.
I know she left the studio and was like, them niggas is crazy.
They were a lot.
Like, that was a lot. But hopefully it was a fun interview. I know she had a long day, so hopefully it was fun for her. But thanks again for coming through. We love you.
Woo! So honored. I don't know how I just ended up Googling photos of Donald Glover.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and go now then.
I just want for like someone to put in the atmosphere, like to put push us gay? To get, I doubt it, but like why not, you know, everything's, okay. Sexuality is a gray area.
It is.
You know, you could be tomorrow.
You could go back and forth if you want to. Or maybe just for me. I mean, listen, who knows? Maybe y'all click and it's one of those things where you meet somebody, you never thought you would fuck around with somebody of the same sex and then you had a connection though. It was deep. I feel like that'll be me and Frank Ocean.
I was going to say that Frank Ocean is also still my man. So
you can box me about it because...
I mean, well, if we have to step outside, we're going to do it anyway.
Handful of men that I could see myself being like, you know, maybe he wouldn't be too bad. Like, but it's like literally five.
Woo!
All the Frank rest
Ocean
of them.
It's so fine.
Frank Ocean, where is that new album? Like,
I'll get him to put it out.
Oh, will you now? Mm-hmm. Exactly what you gonna do to make that happen?
Season some goodies up.
Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and leave.
So the acronym for this week is going to be...
All right.
F-N-G-H... A-A-A-B.
Bitch. What the fuck is that?
Fuck niggas, get Hennessy and apple juice and bitches. I don't know.
We're gonna see y'all next week.
I was on the spot.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.
Hey y'all, this podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Everyone knows the holidays can take a toll on your bank account, so if you're looking for creative ways to increase revenue and give your family and friends the holiday treats they deserve, then you need to get started with Squarespace's new feature, Squarespace Courses. As for me, I'm very qualified to help y'all learn how to maybe start journaling every day to get your thoughts out and improve your mental health. Or I could teach you how to get on the nerves of every man in a 5-mile radius. I'm an expert at that. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own online courses. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and then tailor your course with the powerful built-in Fluid Engine editor. With Squarespace courses, you can create engaging content that your audience will love, then simply add a paywall and set the price. Plus, you can charge a one-time fee or sell subscriptions. It's up to you. Turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. Just head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/read to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Again, that's squarespace.com/READ. Let them know Kid Fury and Crystal sent you.